Have you met All Modern? All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture, and they deliver it for free in days. You heard that right, days. That way, you get your sofa ASAP and can sit comfortably while figuring out your other modern must-haves. At All Modern, you'll find only the best of modern, from Scandi to mid-century, minimalist to maximalist. Every piece is hand-vetted for quality by our team of experts and designed for real life. That's modern made simple. Shop now at allmodern.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
What do Devontae Adams, George Kittle, Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, and Amon-Ra St. Brown all have in common? Well, besides being some of the most reliable hands in the game of football, they're also the stars of the new Netflix series Receiver. From the same team that brought you the show Quarterback, Receiver takes you deep inside the huddles, locker rooms, and personal lives of five of the best pass catchers and playmakers in the NFL. Catch Receiver now playing only on Netflix.
What makes a Carnival cruise fun? A picture-perfect beach day at Cozumel, or a tropical adventure to Mayan ruins with snorkel excursion for good measure. A delectable surf and turf at sea, topped off with craft cocktails at Alchemy Bar. Now, get some Z's. You never know what tomorrow will bring. Why? Because no one does fun like Carnival. Carnival, choose fun.
Ships Registry, Bahamas, Panama.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a savory sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and crispy hash browns. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Fun times with friends and family, hopefully. And away we go. Now in the 40s until college football begins. How about them apples, Tommy? I'm Jeff. That is Tom. And thanks to all of you guys listening on the radio, 93.3. Driving about town. Perhaps maybe you're at the office. Perhaps you're delivering mail. UPS guy. Perhaps you're in a cab. I don't know. But I appreciate you listening to the station and to me. And that's true of all of you watching on War Chant TV as well. And those of you in the Heisen Legal Law Firm chat. Yeah, good stuff. What's up, brother?
Hey, man, we're getting closer. I think last Monday I said I needed your energy in the open to be sustained. But we're on the other side of July 4th now. This is good. Things are good. Things are real. It's time to get talking about football. Now I'm seeing things, the national sites, the preview magazines, looking at Florida State's opponents. All those little details, and I think to myself, okay, this applies. This applies now. We need to start crash coursing on a couple of our, especially our September games.
Well, let me let you in on something here. I know you always like to hear this from me, the announcement, the listeners do. Guess what happened over the weekend? It happened a little bit yesterday and again this morning. The conversation, the first of the robust conversations with my father and others about actual football games, matchups, expectations, times, dates, the organization of the tailgates, which away games have been circled beyond Ireland. We already knew that, of course, but like, which of these away games do you want to meet at? He's a big proponent of going to the Florida State SMU game on the road. He's been to Notre Dame several times, so I don't think he's going to meet me in Chicago. I'm definitely going to go to Chicago for Florida State Notre Dame. I tried to convince him to take a trip down south with me to Miami. You know, he doesn't like going to Florida State Miami games down there, but it should be a whale of a ball game. It'd be a fun one to be at if we win yet again in our home away from home, Seminole Hard Rock. Try to convince him that we could make a big weekend of it, whatever it might be. But the actual, you know, the get your calendar out and start putting in the dates, start putting in the times. Here's where we're meeting, you know, the Claxton family, they're flying in for this game. Did you know that? No, I haven't seen Reed in years. Can't wait to see him. And then all of these things are happening where we're writing it in. I'll meet you here, do all of those things. Tailgates. Then later on, you and I had the pre-work, pre-show discussions that we always have, in which we get caught up about both our personal life, but also work-related things and show-related things. And we talked a little bit about football and about the upcoming season and about our expectations and events and pregame shows and all the stuff that we have to do. Buddy, that just got the juices flowing. I hung up the phone this morning, and then after I got off the phone with you today before the show, and I thought, and away we go. Yeah, we're in the 40s. I mean, this goes by in a hurry. This is July. What is it, the 8th already? I mean, it happens fast. It's kind of go time, and that's all expedited by the fact that, you know, they do begin practices earlier this year because of the trip to Ireland, which we've talked about and documented many times. But I'll be in Charlotte. I know you're not going to Charlotte, but I'm headed to Charlotte. And, you know, the whole, all of it begins to happen fast. And if you don't have your plans in place and you haven't begun to wrap your mind around both what you think is going to happen on a field and what's going to happen off of it and how that relates to you and your friends and your family and the games that you're going to or covering, you'll be stressed out if you're not ready. So that official conversation about what's a realistic expectation, the one I have annually with my father, always gets me excited because he doesn't bring it up otherwise. He's not, you know, it's not a casual conversation. When Dad and I sit down to talk Knowles, that's some serious stuff. That's like he's going to go position by position. He's going to talk about things that he agrees and disagrees with me about. Why? Some things he's curious about where he'll say, well, you know, I haven't been to practice. You've been to practice. What's the deal here? And, you know, what's your feeling about right tackle? And we get into these things. We get into the weeds, Tom. Once the in the weeds conversation happens, I know it's go time.
Well, and you could think about it this way. If for those out there who are saying, is it really that close to happening? We are closer to 15 days away from football practice than 20 days from football practice. Think about it that way. In 14 days, you will be halfway through. That will be, I think it's just in time for Jim Phillips' time at the dais 2 weeks from today. They're practicing right after. There's a reason that Florida State and Georgia Tech are going on day one of the ACC kickoff. They got to get to work. They got to get to work immediately. And so we're closer to 15 days from, I mean, our first football camp shows that we do, the stand-up videos you guys do, first impressions, the different heights and weights. You know, obviously that first day is all about the work the guys put in between spring camp and fall camp, how they look. First impressions of maybe some of the players that are brand new, like Elijah Moore. I would be very interested to see what he looks like in an Knowles practice uniform, which have gotten worse, by the way. Those uniforms were outstanding for practice. They went back to those 1990s penny style jerseys, but those are the photos that are going to be rolling out in just a little over 2 weeks. And then within a few days of that particular practice, the full pads come on. And now we're talking, and it is in earnest. No more time for trial and error. Jobs need to be won. We're not tinkering with, you know, well, I wonder if we could run this guy to this set. No, you're pretty much installing your offense at that point. This is where it gets real fun.
Yeah, you go straight to it because, listen, I don't think Georgia Tech is a pushover. I don't think that's an easy game per se. And then when you add some of the circumstances around that game, such as the travel and the distractions of being in Ireland and, you know, this early in the season, being the first out the gates to play a game, there are layers to this. It's not overwhelming. I'm not trying to make it sound as if, oh, that's too much to overcome. But a lot of times, generally speaking, when you watch these games, I've watched the games in Ireland. I remember watching Nebraska and Northwestern. It was incredibly sloppy. A lot of these games turn out to be sloppy. So I am kind of curious to see how precise this will look, especially with a brand new quarterback and a lot of brand new faces being asked to make plays. You know, maybe those same players are making plays in week three, week four, week five, and you don't bat an eyelash. Week one, you don't really know. Then you add the travel. You add all the circumstances, such as the fact that it's the first time ever playing in a game with each other with DJU at the helm. I think it's a little bit more of a tough start than you would maybe typically like. I'm not saying that you're scared. I'm not saying that I think we're going to lose. I'm not inferring that, hey, we're going to be biting our nails in the fourth quarter. I am saying that if you don't play well and you look a little disjointed and, you know, it kind of turns out to be a bit of a convoluted mess as you're feeling each other out for a couple of quarters, you might be uncomfortable in the midway through the third quarter. This game kind of feels a little bit like that to me.
It could be. I think also the nature by which we play, we might be in some closer games this year, offensively speaking. I just, you know, some years our offense might be predicated on, you know, pass first, or maybe you could just look at any other team in the last 15, 20 years and say, if they're five wide, passive, not very tough up front, but they can pass pro, the quarterback makes a lot of checks at the line of scrimmage, but it's about timing. It's an air raid style, whatever it is. Like, that offense is going to take a little bit longer to click, but it will be very explosive by the time it gets into a midseason rhythm and they play in the Big 12. That's because that's what I'm thinking of is Graham Harrell, Texas Tech way back in the day. And it's a race to 50 and they're going to score 40. It's just a question, will they get to 50? This offense that we have, I think, is going to be much more about the modern day power running game, the shotgun based power running game. And obviously there's going to be gap and all that kind of stuff. But there's not a whole lot of razzle dazzle in this offense. There might be speed and some stuff to the edges, but I think this is going to be more straight ahead. And if that's the way we're going to play this year, I mean, the chances are that you might have some empty possessions that take 3 and 4 minutes, or a 3 minute possession that takes that you kick a field goal from 36 yards.
Shortens the game. Yeah, it shortens the game.
Right, exactly. And so I think you're not far off in that regard. But I do like, at least for a first game's purpose in a week zero, that our offense is going to be fairly simple, because I think there's a chance that it could be at its optimal quicker because of the simplicity of it.
I really look forward to the simplicity of it. I look forward to the strength and the bludgeoning aspects of a power run game. I don't like last year that we took a huge step back in that category. I understood what happened, and I understood that what we had to do to make it work. And I also understood that the mounting injuries all on one side of the ball were absurd. You'd like to think you'll have much better injury luck this year than you did last. I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, even just in terms of the evenness, you know, the way you would spread that out, right? The disparate, you know, like to me, I, every time somebody got hurt last year, it was an offensive player. And you're just like, well, this is absurd. I mean, nobody anywhere else is going to get hurt. It's just going to be offensive players. That, you know, you don't want anybody to get hurt ever, but it's football and people do. You just don't want it to be stockpiled on one side of the ball, which it was. I think just, you know, just the percentages suggest that it won't be that way this year. So, yeah, they'll shorten games because they're going to want to run the ball. They're also going to have to wear you down if that's to be successful. They're going to force a safety to have to walk up and deal with a physical running game. And that's when you're going to hit people over the top, which we've talked about a lot, and taking advantage of the arm strength of DJU and the speed of the receivers that they brought in. That's what you want to do. But that takes time, and that takes real patience. I was very impressed by Mike's patience last year in situations where I thought at times he was almost too patient. I might have deviated, but I do like what it reveals about Mike as a play caller, as a coordinator. It means he sees the big picture, and the big picture last year told him, my defense is getting better every week. My defense is getting stops. I can trust them. I can trust them to wait on the offense to come around, which tells me that if this year methodical is going to be the descriptor of an offense, Mike has the patience to be methodical. Most offensive minds, and really advanced offensive minds, guys that love scoring points and lighten it up, you know, I think in many ways they think about how that helps in recruiting and all of these aspects that we don't always talk about week to week. They don't have a lot of patience when things start to falter. But I think Mike will have patience, and I do think, especially since he basically, when you look at what they brought in, I say it every year when we go to the offseason, they'll tell you what they liked and didn't like by who they bring in and who they don't. And, you know, he kind of told on himself right off the bat. You know he wants to be able to run the ball. You can see it in the moves that they made. And then you know that he really had to have been very frustrated that they couldn't stretch the field.
Yeah, and I like the versatility last year, you know, the strategy of playing to your defense. That happened before Jordan got hurt. You know, I think that's important to note. That wasn't just post-Jordan Travis injury thing. And when you juxtapose that type of conservative play or bigger picture thinking with Mike's first couple of years, you could point to the Notre Dame game in 21. You could point to the NC State game that season as well. there are a couple of choices he makes about when to go for it that I thought was, he's quick to punch guy. Like, man, just let it play out a little bit more. It's the second quarter. There's no need to be desperate in the second quarter. Well, he's reading the situation in both of those instances and making decisions on offense based upon a raw assessment, a blunt assessment of what he believes his defense to be. But it's worked both ways. He's been, I don't trust this defense. We're going for it right now. We're not punting the ball back to Notre Dame guy. And he's also been, this defense is outstanding. I'm calling nothing that's going to get me in trouble and give them a short field. So it's nice to see that when you complain about one thing, you can actually circle around and complain about the other side of the spectrum, because that means he's thinking big picture and he's not always points, 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 or he's not always full steam ahead. I need to run 85 plays. He keeps talking about running a quicker tempo. I don't know that this is the personnel this year to do that. Maybe they'll do what they have done traditionally, which is they'll have it as a change up, a change of pace thing every once in a while. But this doesn't seem to me like a team that he wants to put the defense out there for extra possessions and race to 40 points. The way that we're building this thing looks like it might be, you know, right in the middle of modern college football in terms of pace, and then in terms of total score, 34-21 or 31-20 is the kind of game that he wants to win, not 49-35.
Well, they shouldn't have to be worried about winning 49-35 most days. This defense is going to be good. I can say that, I think, with a lot of conviction. I think he'll be very good. So, yeah, I think he'll play to trust his defense and then try to wear people down, to your point. While we were away, and we'll talk about it here in a moment, Florida State on the 4th of July, actually, and we obviously were off the air on the 4th of July and the day after. This is the first chance we've had to reconvene, and I wasn't going to miss the opportunity to once again celebrate what we're doing in the trenches. As much as we were lamenting last week, another failed effort from our linebacker coach to bring in a recruit, or any of them, all three said no, we had another robust yes in the trenches, which is something I celebrate every time it happens. The latest being interior offensive lineman Peyton Joseph. We'll talk about it in a minute. Jeff Cameron Show 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you met All Modern? All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture, and they deliver it for free in days. You heard that right, days. That way, you get your sofa ASAP and can sit comfortably while figuring out your other modern must-haves. At All Modern, you'll find only the best of modern, from Scandi to mid-century, minimalist to maximalist. Every piece is hand-vetted for quality by our team of experts and designed for real life. That's modern made simple. Shop now at allmodern.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
What do Davante Adams, George Kittle, Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, and Amon-Ra St. Brown all have in common? Well, besides being some of the most reliable hands in the game of football, they're also the stars of the new Netflix series Receiver. From the same team that brought you the show Quarterback, Receiver takes you deep inside the huddles, locker rooms, and personal lives of five of the best pass catchers and playmakers in the NFL. Catch Receiver now playing only on Netflix.
What makes a Carnival cruise fun? That's up to you. Maybe it's a ride on boat, a roller coaster at sea, or a deep tissue massage at the spa. Creole-inspired cuisine at Emerald's Bistro to laid-back bites at Guy's Burger Joint. Excursions that take you from jungle adventures to beach days at Mahogany Bay and sunsets from the top deck. Long story short, no one does fun like Carnival. Carnival, choose fun.
Ships registry: Bahamas, Panama.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a savory sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and crispy hash browns. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Mentioned it as we went to break. Florida State gets a commitment from four-star offensive lineman Peyton Joseph. That happened on the 4th of July. We were off on the 4th of July, as many of you were, and talking about a top 200 player in the country. For me, again, people arguing over whether he's the 10th best or the 9th best or the 7th. I don't really care about that. I care that you continue to stockpile upper echelon, well thought of, highly recruited offensive linemen, defensive linemen. And Florida State is making an impact on that front right now. 6'3", 280 pounds out of Georgia. This is a kid that visited Florida State a bunch. Loves Alex Atkins, has said that as much. In fact, the feeling was amazing to get back to Doak. Watching the coaches, all the players running through the drills was amazing to be around. It's always good watching Coach Atkins. He's one of those coaches that it's him and the player working together. He's a great teacher. He's a man of his word. He teaches you the game the right way. He's a technician. You can't be the best player. So that's good news. And of course, he announced that and was all over his social media and the like, which, again, I can take or leave social media, but I get what it is and what it means to the kids out there. And perhaps that means to other offensive linemen, other defensive linemen, a cue, come on down, doing things at Florida State. And you really are when you're bringing in big time players on the interior of the offensive line, when you are doing the same on the defensive line. That, to me, then you can fill in the rest with skill position players. But honestly, they're a dime a dozen. There is occasionally a kid that comes along that's a receiver or a quarterback or running back that you go, oh, well, that's different. Yeah, that could be game changing. But for the most part, especially within the Southeast region, you can get a lot of speed. You can find talented kids to run and catch a football. But getting kids to block and tackle on the offensive defensive line is a little bit more difficult, especially with a dominant type upside. And Florida State, for the first time in a while, making inroads there, that continues to have me very, very excited. So good news on that front. Didn't want to overlook it since we didn't talk about it last week.
Yeah, again, yeah. So Solomon Thomas is one of those players that you can count in the fold for Florida State for now. He said he shut things down, but he's considered to be the number one interior offensive lineman in this class, number one in the country, 6'5" and a half, 6'5" and a half, 315 pounds. Peyton Joseph joins the party now. The defensive line, we know we've talked about that quite a bit, but Florida State is in on Josh Petty, who's a 5-star offensive lineman as well. If you could bring in Petty to pair along with Solomon Thomas and Peyton Joseph, and maybe you close on one other kid by the end of the class, you combine that with some of the work they did last year. I think Jonathan Daniels is going to be a good player, and a kid from out the West Coast, Mana ITT, I think he's going to be a good player as well. Lucas Simmons, Andre Otto, they really love Jalen Early. I'm intrigued to see what Jalen Early is this camp, because they've been talking about him and talking about him for a while. You start to see how that pipeline grows from the high school ranks and not just from the transfer portal. And that's what we're looking to flip here. It doesn't have to be all high school. You just like to have some high school and not have to lean on Darius Washington, Maurice Smith, and the health of Robert Scott for the fifth year in a row. Like, you've got to start working some of these younger players in who were brought in out of the prep ranks. We'll see. We'll see how many of them crack the rotation this fall.
Frankie writes, when's the next W's and L's? We'll do one this week. You want to, Tom?
I think we have to. Absolutely. And then probably one more before we hit the road for Ireland.
Yeah, we'll do one this week for sure. I think we're leaning towards Thursday or Friday, maybe, for a W's and L's. And so, Frankie, we appreciate the contribution and the question. Yeah, let's lean towards Thursday or Friday. I'll solidify tomorrow and let you know. But yeah, I think we should do Thursday or Friday. You know, Mike asked a question that a lot of people have asked ever since he's arrived. And I think it's fair to assess this because we are talking about the offensive line, and he was a highly touted and recruited young man. What's up with Julian Armella? You know, I don't know what to think about what, you know, I'm usually very opinionated about every player that I see, and in within reason. Right now, if you're a true freshman at a position where freshmen don't normally play and they need to add size and strength and they're just not physically ready, I don't have unrealistic expectations for you to come in and start. So if you're a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman, unless you're a freak, you know, if you're just one of these guys that comes around every now and again, then I don't put that on you. I'll give you a good couple of years to get yourself ready. Armella came in at a time where we were not recruiting elite offensive linemen, and he was kind of one of the few yeses from a highly touted offensive lineman that we had. And so the expectation was pretty lofty on him. It was evident early on that there were aspects of his game that you liked. I thought he had good feet. I thought he had the body type, the frame to be a real dude at the position. You know, some guys you look at, you're like, you know, there's a lot of bad weight there, or they're smaller than I thought they were, or they got to get a lot stronger up top, or whatever it might be. But he had all of the attributes that you look at. Good feet. He could bend. You thought, okay, we'll see how quickly he gets it. And then you noticed he had a mean streak about him, which I liked a lot. I mean, he was he's a guy that stood up for himself at the very least. But we started to notice that he wasn't ready to play pretty early on when they went into the pads, just spent too much time on the ground, quite frankly. He'd have a great rep, and you'd say, that's a great rep. There's real potential there. But then the next time you saw him, he was getting thrown on his ass, and it was happening a little bit too frequently. Happens to young players. You let it go. You move on. You understand he's not going to play all that often in that first year. Second year came around. You're like, okay, let's see if we see real growth. And Tom, I think what we saw was growth, but then there became this question about whether or not he was going to be here long-term. Some people, there were whispers he was unhappy with where he was on the depth chart. There was concerns that he didn't want to be here any longer. Of course, in the era of NIL, the concerns were that some other programs were perhaps reaching out to him, saying, look, Florida State's not even using you. You're not getting on the field at all. Come on down here. There's room for you. Of course, this is the game that is played now between schools all the time, where if there's a kid who's highly thought of who doesn't get on the field right away and is perhaps maybe rumored to be disgruntled, the whispers begin that this program or that program, in particular rival programs. So if a kid's from South Florida and he comes to Tallahassee and he's not getting on the field in the first couple of years, you can bet you're going to hear whispers that Miami has come at him hardcore with an offer. Come on down, come back home, whatever it might be. If a kid is from Georgia and Florida State wins his services and he doesn't play right away, and he was really highly touted and well thought of and recruited by Georgia, then you'll hear whispers that Georgia's reaching out. Hey, man, I don't know what happened down there in Tallahassee, but we still got a spot for you. So coaches are always having to fend this off and deal with the psyche of players. And so these were the rumors that were swirling around Julian Armella as to why, you know, we're not seeing a lot of him. We're not hearing a lot about him. He was probably the most highly touted of the bunch that we had at the time. And frankly, it was a simple answer. It wasn't about whether he was happy or not. I don't know if he was or wasn't. I'm sure there's a measure of truth to both. I'm sure there were times where he was perfectly contented. He does have an NIL contract with the Battles Inn. And then I think there were days that he felt infinitely frustrated by the fact that he could not win even second team reps at times. And so I imagine that was probably humbling. But at the end of the day, what was also true is what matters most, and that is, he wasn't ready to play. He wasn't good enough to get out there. Now, unless you believe Alex Atkins is not doing a good job of developing players, then you cannot put a kid out there and say, well, you know, we got to play him. He was well thought of. If we don't play him, we're going to lose this kid. What's going on? Get him out there. No, if he's not ready, he's not ready. You got to trust that the coach is going to develop and play him when he is ready. And we got ourselves in hot water in the past by playing kids, especially on the offensive line, before they were ready, because then they would get hurt. And instead of an offseason of growth and strength and confidence building, they were rehabbing. They're just rehabbing an existing injury, which means they come back and they're static. They're not any better than they were because they're just fixing the problem that they suffered by playing too soon. And that's where we were with Armella and several other guys. So I guess it's a long-winded way of saying I think eventually he'll play. I don't know how much he plays this year. He doesn't appear to be one of your best five right now. So I can tell you that in my opinion, he's not a starter. And given what his recruiting ranking was and what people thought he would be, that will come across as a disappointment to many. I'm not for playing guys, no matter what they were thought of coming out of high school, if they're not one of your best players at the position. If they haven't earned it, they don't get it. It doesn't mean you give up on them entirely. It doesn't mean you wash your hands of them and turn your back. Just means they're not ready. And maybe it's not, you know, in some cases, we've seen this happen before. Guys aren't ready sometimes, especially on the offensive and defensive lines, until they're redshirt juniors or first year, you know, fourth year seniors. Like it can happen. So Armella has more work to do. I do view it as a positive that Julian's still in the program. A lot of guys in the modern era, if they have yet to win a substantial amount of playing time this early in their or at this point of their career, would have already announced that they were going to jet. And quite frankly, I think a lot of people thought at the end of spring we might get that announcement. We never got that announcement. And I'll tell you this, Tom, and I think you saw it too. You can back me up on this if you want, or maybe you disagree with me. I don't know. I was shocked to see how engaged he was. He seems very engaged. He seems attentive. He seems like he wants to play. He seems like he wants to learn. He was still intense. He had his good reps and his bad reps. It's really been the same since he got here, the good and the bad, and a lack of consistency.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty engaged all of last year. And by that, I mean the fall football season. He was always around Mike. Anytime there was something to be done around Coach Norvell, it could be a post-game address. It could be the, you know, the Gatorade bath or the Powerade bath in the ACC championship game. Julian Armella is right there next to his head coach. So he loves Coach Norvell. There's no doubt about that. And that's always a good thing when you're trying to gauge the engagement level of a player. And for me, in the spring, in the offseason workouts, I thought Julian came into this spring camp in the best shape he's been in. And that is not to imply that he was out of shape. I'm just saying that the strength and conditioning development with Julian looked to have taken a step forward this spring, which gave me encouragement. But as you recall, they shifted him to cross-train a guard. And they were
That was the best thing they could have done, because I don't think he was going to get on the field to tackle. I know you're making the point, but I really feel like he needs to be shifted inside.
I was hopeful that he might, you know, be an anchor at right tackle. Seems like there's a job open for him. You know, there's a job open for somebody at right tackle that wants to take it. Somebody has to take that job by the horns, because I think you've got enough talent to fill out that position. I'm not suggesting that Julian would do that. I'm just saying that I found it interesting that in the spring, the coaching staff was willing to go on record. Alex Atkins was willing to say before the media with the cameras rolling that we're going to work him at guard, because sometimes a position change also is the yellow alert before the red alert of this kid's gone. You know, it's like, well, we're trying to move him here. Think about Omarion Cooper. Like, I get that he's back, but when they moved him to safety, I thought, ooh, interesting. And he was gone. So it was yellow alert for me. But you're right. In practice, that I thought the engagement level was there. The effort was there. He's learning a new position, so it sets back the growth a little bit. But his athletic profile has always been outstanding. And this offensive line, this offensive scheme calls for offensive linemen in the interior to be very active and very athletic. He fits that mold to a T. So there's a potential fit there. It's just that the bad reps are pretty bad. And for me, if you're going to bring in a Richie Leonard and a TJ Ferguson, and you've got a Keandre Jones, and who knows if Rob Scott's healthy, maybe somebody else shifts to the interior. Bryson Estes had a good camp. It's a lot of names he's got to show up and just be better than in fall camp. He's allowed to, but he would qualify for me as an outside chance for being in that 8-man rotation right now, which is, I mean, that is kind of disappointing from when he got on campus to now, to say by year 3, he's not in the 8-man rotation. It's a little disappointing, but it's possible that in fall camp, he has a really good camp and he climbs into that rotation. He certainly has the skill set, and his good reps look the part. It's about the consistency that comes with it.
Yeah, he's got to earn it, though. That gets back to the point. You got to earn it. You can't just be given that. We'll see if he does. I'm not predicting him to be a starter this year. The real goal for him would be to get a lot more reps and to be maybe part of, as you said, an 8-man rotation. Frankly, I want Florida State to get to a place where they're 5 or they're 5. And they have studs, and the only time you really see any of these other guys on the depth chart is when they're playing lesser than teams and they're up by 3 touchdowns and you're getting some guys some work. Until that time, fine, you got to rotate guys, and we'll see how they do. Hopefully Armella will play his way into being part of that. By the way, if you're in the Heisman Legal Law Firm chat, remember they're dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisman Legal Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisman Legal Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 or visit HeismanLegalLawFirm.com. Heisman Legal Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices, Tampa. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Have you met All Modern? All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture, and they deliver it for free in days. You heard that right, days. That way, you get your sofa ASAP and can sit comfortably while figuring out your other modern must-haves. At All Modern, you'll find only the best of modern, from Scandi to mid-century, minimalist to maximalist. Every piece is hand-vetted for quality by our team of experts and designed for real life. That's modern made simple. Shop now at allmodern.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
What do Devontae Adams, George Kittle, Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, and Amon-Ra St. Brown all have in common? Well, besides being some of the most reliable hands in the game of football, they're also the stars of the new Netflix series Receiver. From the same team that brought you the show Quarterback, Receiver takes you deep inside the huddles, locker rooms, and personal lives of five of the best pass catchers and playmakers in the NFL. Catch Receiver, now playing only on Netflix.
Introducing Celebration Key, your key to paradise. Unlock Carnival's all-new exclusive destination at Grand Bahama, where you can dive into clear lagoons, try all the water sports, or unwind on a mile-long pristine beach with breathtaking sunset views. This vacation paradise has it all. Celebration Key, welcoming guests in summer 2025. Carnival, choose fun.
Copyright 2024 Carnival Corporation, all rights reserved. Ships registry, the Bahamas and Panama.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a savory sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and crispy hash browns. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Rolling on, Big River. Florida State will be in Charlotte in a few weeks. By the way, this week, Big 12 Media Days, Tom. Big 12 Media Days. We got real football talk. That was the other thing that happened over the weekend. I was sitting down at one point watching a little bit of the golf. Congratulations to Luke Clanton. How about that kid, right? Do you realize Florida State's own would have earned in the last two tournaments, were he not an amateur, close to $1 million in earnings. I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $705,000 is what he's missed out on by being an amateur. And he's had two top 10 finishes, a 10 and a 2. And he did some things that historically are seldom seen. In fact, the last time you had an amateur with consecutive top 10 finishes, you got to go back to 1958, I believe I saw the number was.
That's 1958. That's just absurd. Now, Luke needs to slow his roll a little bit because we need him next year. We need him here, Tallahassee. Need him.
So you know, go ahead. No, I just going to tell you what's interesting is I reached out to our mutual friend, Ingram, at the Battle's End. And really, this was a week ago I reached out to him the first time because I just think it's cool that Luke's out there sporting the Battle's End on the sleeve of his shirt. And of course, he's got the in the back pocket the yardage book with Seminoles written across it. And he's got the Seminole head on the bag. I mean, he's all in, all things Florida State, and it's all there. And he finished his top 10 a week ago, and we thought, well, isn't that neat? And now he's on the cusp of them winning the tournament, which automatically earns you your tour card. At which point, he would have just had to have declared, I would think. There's no reason you would come back to college. Well, I don't think so, anyhow. But I know that today or tomorrow it will be announced that his new Battle's End deal is going to be celebrated. So he had an expiring deal, and he's got a new one that they're signing into. Again, the Battle's End is the best of the best and has been as competitive as you could ever hope your collective to be. But, Glenn, if you're routinely finishing in the top 10 of PGA Tour events, would stand to make more as a PGA professional?
Yes. Now, he could auto-qualify and earn his tour card by finishing, you know, World Am number one gets you a certain amount of points. Made cuts with the sponsors exemptions would make you some more cuts.
You remember Zalatoris did that?
I think he's around halfway to the points necessary, judging by the article that I read over the weekend. He's about halfway there. So he would need to do some serious work between now and the end of the tour calendar. It's possible, though. He's showing great consistency. But I'm glad to hear that the Battle's End's involved. I would imagine in the realm of golf, if you're a top amateur in the world, that you could most certainly get a deal with an apparel or club manufacturer. Like, I don't know. Does that run up against Florida State's responsibilities with Nike? It's a weird world because golf apparel game is a big to-do. And let's just say that he returns and he is the prohibitive number one amateur player in the world for his senior season. If I'm Nike, I want to lock him up early. So I wonder how that works in the brand new era of the sport.
Yeah, I'd have to talk to Trey about that. I'm not entirely certain. Obviously, they have brands that they are associated with, for example, for a very long time, and I think they still do. I'm not real sure, but Ping and Florida State were together. So, you know, Ping clubs. And I know you get your clubs free that way. I don't know about in terms of whether, you know, Florida State's a Nike school. So I don't know. Do you have, like, what if Adidas wanted to sign him? What would happen?
Well, yeah, exactly. I think it's a fair question. If I'm Adidas or Nike or whoever, I want to get in on the cheap now. Like, let me throw some money at him right here, right now, sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal. And if he pans out and he does this when he's, you know, actually on the PGA Tour, man, I got to steal for a few years. But that's, I mean, before that was never possible. That's one of the cool things about NIL. And for a sport like golf, you can make a lot of money really, really fast if you're as good as he's been playing.
Unreal, and just looks confident at around every turn and is making every putt. It was pretty cool to see him get choked up when he was being interviewed afterwards. And Amanda Baliones brought up his parents and the sacrifices they've made. And he, you know, you could tell he was struck by that. And by all accounts is a good kid. So, man, a lot of cool stuff that happened in Tallahassee wise, as far as golfers go and the PGA Tour and up and coming stars, et cetera. I mean, we just got done spending a lot of time talking about Ludwig Abor, who's not a Florida State graduate or player, but does live here in Tallahassee. And he's number 6 on the world rankings right now. So he's one of the best players in the world. And he lives right here in Tallahassee. It's nuts. Things are about to change though. Scottish Open this week, and then it's off to the British, and it's that'll be fun. You'll get to get your get up early weekend there. Tommy, do you the breakfast, the 4 a.m.? Let's go.
I'll be up. And yeah, I've actually got a crew of some Tallahassee golfers coming up that weekend to play some golf here in New York. That's one of the last send-offs before football season. But I will be opening the doors to my abode. They're staying at Rogers. You know where that is. They're staying at the Pub Hotel.
Rogers is, yeah, good old Rogers.
So they're staying at the Pub Hotel, and I'm opening my doors at 5:30. You know, Muhammad, he makes the bagel. This is New York. So they're staying at the pub. My man Muhammad makes the bagels. They're open at 5 a.m. I'll be getting the breakfast for everybody, and they want to come in every morning. They can. It's going to be outstanding. The sun's up here that early anyway.
Yeah, it's a good situation there. And Muhammad's awesome and does good work. And those suckers are tasty. And that's a good way to watch the Open. And we'll be doing that soon enough. Hey, by the way, Tom, to put a ribbon on the recruiting talk where I was talking about the rankings and all of that, you know, again, we feel like if Florida State's operating at peak efficiency, then they are routinely going to be a top 10 recruiter. That's what they're going to be, at least, at the very least. I think the latest commit put Florida State at number 10 in the on three rankings. It's interesting when you look at those rankings, I get less concerned about, you know, so you'll look at the average rating and you'll say, oh, well, the average rating, our average rating is really high. So for example, Florida State's average rating is 92.4. If you're wondering what that compares to, that's better than Alabama's rating. They have the number 2 class in the country. That's better than Georgia's average ranking. They have the number 3 class in the country. That's just below Ohio State's average rating, and they have the number 1 class in the country. So if you're just looking at that, you say, oh, well, Florida State's kicking ass. But when you look at, and I know numbers have a lot to do with this, how many total players are you bringing in? But it would be disappointing if, as the list is currently constructed, and again, this is about the most I ever get into recruiting, Oklahoma's ahead of Florida State. Texas A&M is ahead of Florida State. Clemson's ahead of Florida State. Notre Dame is ahead of Florida State. LSU, Oregon, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. I think people live with Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. After that, all right now, this needs to change. We don't need all that nonsense. There's no reason Notre Dame needs to be ahead of you.
I hear you. You answered my concerns about this with your first statement about the average rating. Oklahoma just – If you study their class, I think they got 20 plus kids, 21 kids committed to them. And so they're a skosh above Florida State, you know, minuscule.
Yeah, they got 21.
21. Mm-hmm. We got 10. I mean, yeah. Now we need to do better than 10. I hear you. But it took 21 kids for Oklahoma to be just a little bit above Florida State. And you can look at inside the top 10 at those schools like Notre Dame, and maybe you look at Oregon, even though Lanning's kicking ass up there, and you say, what gives? I mean, if they're at 17, 18 kids, you know, I think if we get and we continue down the path that we're going with this class, maybe we even get a linebacker to flip our way. You're looking at Florida State with 14 commits and 15 commits to be in that top five range. That's where I think we're going to start to see the gains. But that they're at 10th in the country with 10 kids is a good sign.
It tells you how highly touted the kids that have said yes are, and that's why we've been celebrating these little moments of achievement, understanding full well that it takes a combination of the portal along with very, very strong high school recruiting. And Florida State is obviously endeavoring at this point to be much, much better in the high school ranks because they've already shown the ability to recruit the portal better than most, if not all, other programs. But we're watching closely because this should be sort of a symbiotic relationship. Florida State grows in stature with each victory on the field, a finishing record with 13 wins this past year, 10 the year before, should coincide with a whole bunch of elite players saying, that's a new destination for me. Certainly it's piqued my interest. The visitations have rightfully gone up. Coupled the visitations going up with the yeses that should go up. It's sort of like driving people to businesses in our world. You know, I can't make you make the sale, but I can get somebody through the door for you, and then it's on you. Well, getting kids here, that was the first big thing, and I'm talking about elite-level kids. Getting them here was important. We've been getting them here. Now you got to close the deal to the tune of a top eight class, I think, this year, certainly. Has to be. After what they've done, I would think that that's probably where they're headed. We would obviously kill for a top five class. It's been a long time, really, kind of frustratingly, just circumstances and the like and how down the program was, as we've documented. But this is the first real opportunity to do that. That's why we were so hard last week on the situation of linebacker. Well, and, yeah. You know, you're going to continue to monitor this very closely. It's important. It's what sustains programs.
That's why also the era of NIL is just, it's unfortunate timing. We have a great collective, but this goes back to the discussion we had 11 years ago with Coach Lawrence Dossey before the 13 season began. And he talked about recruiting at LSU versus recruiting at Florida State, even though LSU doesn't have the tradition of winning, especially at that time. You know, they had this recency, this surge of recency with Nick Saban and Miles with the runoff from Nick Saban. They didn't have the 80s and the 90s like we had it. And yet Coach Dossey and Noel himself said they've got a, you know, multi-generation head start in terms of the coffers. And so that is going to be the hard part, I think, every year until we get a new TV contract to help mitigate that booster presence, that collective presence. There are more people in Louisiana and Alabama who are willing to part with their hard-earned money instead of new shoes. They now got the SEC network all set and paid for, but they will part with that money to make sure that you close on signing day. Florida State is trailing behind in terms of the alumni base of people who are willing to do that. We're hopeful that we can close the gap, but you need these TV dollars to help mitigate the gap as well. And that's where we're headed. And I think what we're going to have to be very shrewd at over the years is knowing what year to say, no Moss in the high school ranks and lean towards the portal. And what years to say the portal is going to be way too expensive. We're better off taking a couple extra 4 stars. They might be lower 4 stars, but I like their development path. And I think it's going to pay dividends for us in a couple of years. But our player development wing of the football program has to be so on point. And they've been excellent in terms of tabbing kids for development since Mike Norvell got here.
It's also important to note that we now have enough data points in which it's more, it's easier to discern the positions that are available where you can grab a player in the portal that is of a plus-plus variety. You know, I mentioned it last week. You can find a really good slot receiver and a guy you could plug and play, and he's a good fit for the culture, and he's a plus player for you. You can find that in the portal. You don't find starting – And I mean really good starting NFL caliber left tackles in the portal. They're not there. You got to recruit those out of the high school ranks. You got to recruit a big-time, big-body wide receiver, typically. You know, there aren't that many to be found in the portal. Now, to be sure, we got one. We happened to get one. I mean, the second we saw Michigan State and we realized what was going to happen there, oh, okay, Keon, come on, we got you. But we were lucky. That was like the only big-body receiver out there, and we got him. You got to typically grab the Hakeem Williams like we did from the high school ranks. That's where you got to go. So there are positions we now know. Offensive and defensive line are big time that way. Yes, Braden Fisk worked out, and every now and again it does. Edge rushers, we've proven you can find one here and there. I think that might be a bit of an outlier if you look around the country. I think that you want to make sure you're winning the services of the elite edge. Like, for example, the Hilson kid. Getting that as a yes is huge. Now, if you happen to find somebody to bridge the gap, great, but you've got somebody coming up the ranks.
The thing I would say quickly is that we've established a reputation that we're a place to go for edge rushers before this market became a thing. So it's nice to have that reputation. So if somebody's in the portal, they're at least going to check us out if they're an edge rusher.
Hour number two, forthcoming. Stay with. It's Jeff Gabbert Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, and, of course, War Chant TV.
Have you met All Modern? All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture, and they deliver it for free in days. You heard that right, days. That way, you get your sofa ASAP and can sit comfortably while figuring out your other modern must-haves. At All Modern, you'll find only the best of modern, from Scandi to mid-century, minimalist to maximalist. Every piece is hand-vetted for quality by our team of experts and designed for real life. That's modern made simple. Shop now at allmodern.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
What do Davante Adams, George Kittle, Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, and Amon-Ra St. Brown all have in common? Well, besides being some of the most reliable hands in the game of football, they're also the stars of the new Netflix series Receiver. From the same team that brought you the show Quarterback, Receiver takes you deep inside the huddles, locker rooms, and personal lives of five of the best pass catchers and playmakers in the NFL. Catch Receiver now playing only on Netflix.
What makes the Carnival Cruise fun? A picture-perfect beach day at Cozumel, or a tropical adventure to Mayan ruins with snorkel excursion for good measure. A delectable surf and turf at sea, topped off with craft cocktails at Alchemy Bar. Now, get some Z's. You never know what tomorrow will bring. Why? Because no one does fun like Carnival. Carnival, choose fun.
Ships registry: Bahamas, Panama.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a savory sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and crispy hash browns. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.